I guess from a UK point of view, people will be equating you with Monica Lewinsky, who famously had an affair with Bill Clinton. What do you think about that comparison?
Well, I don't actually think about the comparison so much, because when Monica Lewinsky story was in the news, it was still at a time when I was very much silent about my secret. And the one thing I did was I feared that I might be found out. So I really didn't pay much attention to it. And, you know, that is really, that's her story, and this is my story. So I don't really compare them.
Why did you decide after all this time, after 40 years, to write a book about it?
I know, it's a long time. It seems like a long time to everyone. But you have to remember that the title of the book is Once Upon a Secret. And though the first part of the book is about the 18-month relationship I had with the president, the second part of the book is how the effect of keeping that secret, what the effect of that was and the impact on my marriage and my adult life. So it wasn't until 2003 when I was publicly outed in an author's book, a biography of President Kennedy, that I really felt I couldn't leave that story just as a paragraph in somebody else's book. And as I began to write and think about it, I realized how that secret had affected me, and that's what really became my motivation for writing the book.
Because it really has had a great effect throughout your life, and it must have been very difficult not to talk to many people about it.
Well, I shut down so completely on November 22nd because I was told not to talk about it with my who was at the time my fiancé. We were soon married after that, or to talk to anyone else, and I did that, and it was that really put a layer of secret on top of the secret affair, and it really did set up a pattern in our life and in our marriage of how we handle difficult situations. And it was not that it was not difficult to talk to people. I just put it all aside, and that was the difficult part, because it really cut off a piece of me, I feel.
Let's go back to 1962 and just tell me how it all started. I mean, you were a 19-year-old girl. You were about to go to university. And suddenly, I mean, you'd been to the White House the year before and visited the First Lady's press secretary. Great experience. Then suddenly you get an invitation to become an intern at the White House.
Yes,
what happened then?
Well, exactly. I had done my article for the high school newspaper and sent it to everybody whom I met during that visit the year before. And then in May of 1962, I got an offer to be an intern in the press office, and I thought that was absolutely terrific, and that it must have had to do with my article, that I'd done a good job, and I was enthusiastic. So I went to work in June in the White House, and I was in the White House for 4 days when this story started to unravel, really.
What happened?
First, I was invited to take a swim in the White House pool with Dave Powers, who was the first, was an assistant to President Kennedy, and other staffers, and I met the president. The president joined us. And then later that day, I was invited to go to a staff gathering on the second floor of the residence, which I went to also enthusiastically and glad that I was being included. And during that time, the president took me on a tour of the rooms of the upstairs of the White House, and it ended up in the bedroom.
And, I mean, essentially, he seduced you, and, I mean, without beating about the bush, he took your virginity, didn't he?
Well, yes. I think, you know, it was not something that I had planned, not something that I expected. It happened quite quickly, I'm surprised, but I feel that I've always felt that I was slightly willing to do that, and that is exactly what happened.
And it's very interesting reading your words in the pages following that incident, because I was thinking to myself, well, this was back in the 1960s. I mean, America was not the... It wasn't the same society, the liberal society that it is now. It's a very conservative society in sexual matters. And yes. I mean, you talk about that a bit. And yet you didn't, from my reading of the book, you didn't really feel particularly shocked by what had happened.
I think I was in shock that first night, but I didn't feel shock about the whole thing as the affair went on, because I actually felt so special to be included. And you're absolutely right. At that time, in our culture, that was not something that, you know, I hadn't had discussions with friends or family about sex.
Mm. And it continued. I mean, it's interesting that you describe it as an affair, but it kind of, to me, seemed to be very one-sided. I mean, you perhaps got a little more emotionally attached than he did, and I just sort of got the feeling from reading how you write it that he was using you, wasn't he?
Well, I never felt that way.
But looking back, do you think he was?
Well, I'm looking back now through the eyes of a 69-year-old. I can see that it was not a good place for a 19-year-old to be. Any relationship with a 19-year-old and a 45-year-old man, and particularly one that's married, has imbalance in it, such imbalance in it. And it certainly didn't help me learn how to be and have a voice in relationships later. Well, but at the time, I didn't feel that way.
Well, I feel quite indelicate talking to a lady, shall we say, of a certain age about these matters. But as you've written about them, that's what we're doing.
That's right. That's what I needed, actually. That is what I needed to do.
What do you mean?
Well, that I needed to write this book, to accept really what I had done, to understand it, and to unburden myself.
I mean, you say at the beginning
of the book. And to let go of the secret.
You say at the beginning of the book that you've written it really because you want your grandchildren to understand.
Yes.
You could have written the book and let them read it and maybe kept the secret from everybody else.
I could have, but that isn't how I chose to do it. And actually, what's been very interesting for me is that the process of writing was one step in letting go of the secret. And actually now in talking about it, now that the book is there and talking about it on a broader scale has given me, I feel tremendously liberated. I'd like to point out that my young grandchildren have been told, of course not the details, but they have been told that it was a secret and that I was involved. And my daughter has said to me, I did that. I told them because I don't want any more secrets in our family. And that made me feel good.
When did you realize you weren't the only one that he was sleeping with?
Oh, yes, it was later on that the real well, I had heard, some of the people, but it was really Sally Bedell Smith's book, Grace and Power, when I learned of so many different women that she writes about in that book.
And what effect did that have on you?
Well, interestingly, my first response was probably more of a response of a young girl, because I felt that I wished I had been older and been able to be included in the way some of the other women were. And, you know, I was so young and sort of put was invisible. And I think that, but secondly, it made me feel that I wasn't quite as special as I had always thought that I was.
So, I mean, there was a bit of the green-eyed monster. You were a little bit jealous,
yeah,
maybe.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, and I can understand that. You also talk about a few what you call dark moments. I mean, there was one incident in particular where President Kennedy offered you poppers.
Yes. Well, the dark moments in the book were very difficult for me to write and also really to include in the book. I had them in. I took them out. I put them in, I took them out, I put them back in, because I realized that if I didn't, it would be like whitewashing my memory in a way. And they were, I mean, for me, I'm so mortified and embarrassed that I did what I did do, but I needed to be honest about that.
I mean, just explain what one or two of these dark moments were.
Well, one of them involved a dare that the president gave to me to perform oral sex on one of his assistants in the swimming pool. And I did it, and I was mortified afterward, as was the assistant, and I think actually the president was too.
It's amazing that this sort of thing, I mean, if you'd had the modern media back in the 1960s, there is absolutely no way that not just your story, but others wouldn't have come to light. And yet there were one or two journalists who got rather suspicious when you were on Air Force One, and they thought, well, why is this person on Air Force One? And yet the Pierre Salinger, his press secretary, basically put them off the scent.
Yes, I know. It's quite a different world today with the media. It was very different in the 60s. You're absolutely right. And I don't know the reporters who might have known, you know, thought something was going on. It wouldn't happen today like that. It couldn't happen that way. And there have been people have written about different reasons for that, that a lot of the reporters felt a very close, almost a friendship with the president. So maybe that was one of the reasons why they sort of gave him a pass. But it was also just not part of the general way the presidents were covered in the press.
It's very interesting you talk about the way that President Kennedy compartmentalized his life. And just explain what you mean by that.
Well, what I mean by it, and other people have written about it too, Ted Sorensen has written about it, and it really means that the president could put people in different places in his life and keep them there so that they're not overlapping with other people, the way you would have certain friends that you do certain things with, and they're not overlapping with the other friends. And I think that's what he did. And did so well that I understand from other people, and I feel that that's what I was certainly put in a compartment, and that's probably why he was able to do that.
Yeah. Do you think that his wife, Jackie, knew of his antics?
You know, I don't know what Mrs. Kennedy knew. And as I said, you know, even though I had gone to Washington with the hope of interviewing Mrs. Kennedy, originally, I actually never met or saw Mrs. Kennedy, and I am embarrassed today to say that as a 19-year-old, I didn't feel guilty about what I was doing. But looking back now, of course, I do.
On the day that he was killed, November the 22nd, 1963, how did you learn about it?
Well, I was actually in the car driving with my fiancé from New York to Connecticut to spend the weekend with his parents, and we heard it at on the car radio, and it was just a devastating moment for everybody in the world. And, later that evening, watching the newsreels, I told my fiancé about my affair with the president, and it was a devastating moment. It was very, very emotional, violently emotional response from him, and really a demand that we would never talk about it, and that I should never talk about it with anyone else. And that's really where the secret affair became an emotional burden for me.
Have you been surprised at the media reaction to your story?
Well, actually, I haven't actually read anything. I've been, you know, working today with a lot of different interviews, and I think the reaction, I knew reaction would be different, would be varied. I knew people would have different judgments, and they're, of course, entitled to that. I needed to write this book so that I could resolve and liberate myself from this secret. And I really felt, you know, as I was doing this, as I was writing the book, it was difficult. There were many, many times when I didn't want to get up in the morning and continue. But then I realized that that's what I'd always done. And this was the opportunity and challenge for me to be honest and to be open and to be whole. And I would read an email from one of my daughters who said, you know, Mom, your secret, holding this secret, had affected you, and it affected me because it affected you. And I would have courage to go on. Because honestly, if my book and my story, my experience, just opens a conversation for someone else, for another young woman, or even an older woman who's been harboring and holding secrets, I think that in that conversation, people can find healing and they can find growth and wholeness.
Mimi, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us here on London's Biggest Conversation. That's Mimi Alford. She's written a book called Once Upon a Secret, My Hidden Affair with JFK. It's published by Hutchinson. It's available in hardback now at $16.99.